As far as details of the contract, what we're hearing from Elliot Friedman, Pierre LeBrun, because nothing is official yet, and I'll mention something with that as well, but we're hearing 7 years, $8.8 million. Some talk of a no-move clause in there as well, which would make him the second player from the Knights, along with Mark Stone with one of those. As far as the move itself, I mean, he is clearly an annual Norris Trophy candidate, finished fourth this year. He's a clear upgrade on the right side over anything that they have. They have a dearth of guys who are just right-handed. All their defensemen are left-handed. They've had Nate Schmidt on the right side, Shea Theodore on the right side. We both kind of said that they kind of prefer it, that there's some advantages to it, but Pete DeBoer seems to prefer having right-handed defensemen on the right side of that blue line. Alex Pietrangelo gives him that. He's a clear upgrade there. I guess my question is just the grand scheme of things is what's going to, like, fall now? What are the rest of the dominoes that have to happen? Because salary cap-wise and all that, at least according to Cap Friendly, I'll attribute this to them, they can't, like, register the contract right now because they didn't have the necessary space. So they're assuming, at least according to Cap Friendly, that it was going to be done after 2 p.m., which would mean it would be registered today or tomorrow, excuse me. So that gives them time to make whatever moves they have to make to get salary cap compliant. So we'll see kind of what shakes out here maybe the rest of the evening just to get everything official.
So what do they have to do? How many moves do they have to make to get down to the range where they could bring Pietrangelo in on this contract?
So according to Cap Friendly, they would be $2.1 million over what they currently have available. And then they would have to get down from that to the 81.5. I'm not entirely sure what the math is. I think there's a couple of them, Pugpedia and whatever and all that. They're about basically $6.97 million over. And you can go 10% over in the offseason, but, you know, I'm terrible at math and all this stuff. Those two websites are really, 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 really good at it. So I guess the easy answer is they have to trade somebody. Now, whether that's Nate Schmidt, like we apparently heard rumblings yesterday and all that fell through, so I'm not sure, you know, where that is. You know, potentially Alec Martinez. There was a trade reported by TVA Sports in Montreal that fell through the draft, apparently, for Max Pacioretty. And then there's obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, $7 million a year salary cap hit. That's kind of the big, you know, elephant in the room with all of this. And I'm not sure Bill Foley really made an easier job for his general manager and his president of hockey operations with his comments to me. But there's different ways for them to get creative, and I think it's just a matter of what they think is going to be best for the team with, you know, with what they have. Where can they nip and tuck, I guess? Does that make, you know, if Alex Pietrangelo comes in, does that make, say, Nate Schmidt expendable? Or would they try to move Alec Martinez? Somebody's got to kind of go. The math just doesn't work otherwise.
Dave Shane from the Review Journal. Check out all of his work up there and follow him on Twitter as well. So you mentioned all these possibilities. In your mind, what's the most likely next domino to fall for the Golden Knights?
Well, the most likely one, I think, is still Marc-Andre Fleury, to be quite honest, because I think he's got, you know, a big cap hit, and it solves a whole other problem because, you know, as much as Bill Foley wants to keep them and he can talk about overspending for $12 million and, you know, it might be a shortened season, 48 games to 6 games, whatever he thinks it might be, I'm not sure how Robin Lehner feels about it. I'm not sure how Marc-Andre Fleury feels about it because they both basically pretty much made it clear that they want to be a starting goaltender. Marc-Andre Fleury came right out and said, I don't want to be the backup. I want to try to compete for the starting goaltending spot. Whether that's here, whether that's, you know, somewhere else, I don't know. So I still feel like that's the easiest kind of fix for all of their problems, so to speak. They've, you know, they can find an inexpensive backup. There's still a couple floating around, whether it's, you know, Aaron Bell, who, you know, has experience working with Pete DeBoer, or, you know, I don't know, I guess you try to resurrect Jimmy Howard for a little bit if, you know, you think Detroit was just a fluke and he's got a year left in him or something like that. I mean, you know, you can find a backup goalie anywhere, but I still think Fleury is the easiest, obvious, you know, biggest domino to fall in all of this.